Stay connected on your commute. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
They call it Green Monday. Wills Ways to Save. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News is in. Morning, partner.
Good morning. Happy Retail Desperation Day.
Is that why they call it Green Monday? They need to make some green today?
Oh, they do. Coined by eBay, actually, one of their most successful Mondays on record, and I believe that was record-setting several years ago, so then everyone else jumped in on the momentum. Cyber Monday Part 2, and just in terms of what I've seen, this will be another record-breaking year. What does it mean to all of our listeners? It means awesome deals, but not everywhere.
By the way, a little follow-up. People were loving the picture frame deal you had, and I saw a lot of people on Twitter thanking you for that. And you got to follow Matt Granite on Twitter, at least to see the video of him jumping around dancing with the blue shoes when you were out in the street.
You know, I was so excited.
Happy about something.
I gave away a Nintendo Switch, okay, an Xbox, a big screen TV, an iPhone, and a laptop on my YouTube channel.
I'd be dancing too.
It deserved to dance.
The people that wanted it, I don't think they were as happy as you were, just giving it away.
Oh, it's a great day. And I think that I'm going to give many more items away. So any of our listeners, feel free to subscribe to The Deal Guy on YouTube, which is where you can also find today's Green Monday 2-in-1 deal, a $149 Windows Intel touchscreen laptop.
You had me at $149.
For most people, that is what's going to set them up and put them over the edge today. It is a touchscreen laptop for $149 down from $300, full warranty. Really, really good product for those looking for your basic everyday essentials. This is the laptop deal of 2017. I have a full in-depth review and unboxing. I've been using this for a few months now. Of course, when I bought it, it was $300. It's now $149. It's a Green Monday deal. It has a solid-state drive, Windows, Intel, and it checks all the boxes for your basics.
You're calling this the laptop deal of 2017.
I am. You will not see a better deal this year. You won't see a better deal till Black Friday next year, if that will even match it. And since we are having a couple of issues with the WKYC website, if you go to WKYC.com, you'll see it toward the top of the page. Mm-hmm. It is not on WTAM.com keyword save yet. We're working on that. You can also find it on my YouTube channel.
Excellent. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. Tomorrow will help you breathe a little bit better in the house or in the office. Again, the laptop deal, WKYC.com. You'll see the click there, YouTube channel as well, for Matt Granite. Watch him on 3 this morning. Good stuff. Matt, thanks much.
Awesome.
You get Mike Snyder Sports Mornings, 15 to 45 past. And I tell you what, Kaiser, best game he had up until.
Yeah, he was 20 of 28, Bill, 214 yards, 3 touchdowns. Yeah. He really looked like he made good decisions, was looking all over the field. But it comes down to it. Is he one of these guys that no matter what, it's always that one play or two plays? And it came down to that yesterday. The Green Bay Packers able to keep their playoff hopes alive at the expense of the winless Browns, as the Browns did what winless teams do, basically find a way to lose. They had a 21-7 lead going into the fourth quarter. And the Browns defense then, I thought, backed off on their coverage some. And then the special teams breakdown, the 65-yard punt return, that was really the story of the game. The Browns were still up 21-14. Packers then able to tie the game, force the OT. Then in OT, the Browns with the ball, 3rd and 2. Kaiser scrambling deep in the backfield. And then looking, he tried to fling a pass downfield when Clay Matthews Jr. hit his arm. Ball went straight up in the air, up for grabs. Packers intercepted. And then they were moving into what we thought was just field goal range. A quick pass from Brett Hundley to Davante Adams. Adams takes it to the end zone. Green Bay wins in overtime, 27-21. Afterwards, Hugh Jackson said,
"I thought that was the best version of us as a football team, offensively, defensively, and special teams, up until, you know, the fourth quarter, like I said, when we needed the most. That's what we got to do. We got to finish it and got to find a way."
And they're just unable to do that. Now, here's what Kaiser's explanation was of his interception.
"I was able to see Rashard Higgins spin off of his guy and having an opportunity to go down and make a game-winning touchdown. One of the better players in this league was able to reverse fields with me, get his hand on my arm, left the ball in the air, and they were able to make a good play on the ball.
Well, he believes that he could have got it to Higgins. I don't know. I've watched the replay on that a few times. I don't know that Higgins got really away from his defender. But through three quarters, Kizer did some very good things. So what did new GM John Dorsey think? That's the biggest thing in all of this. I still believe they'll be drafting a quarterback and then adding a veteran. And I think you bring Kizer back. I really do. He's shown some things. But again, it just seems like no matter what, there's always that, well, what if? Well, the Browns are now 0-13. They host the Ravens Sunday. Packers get out of town with a win. They keep their playoff hopes alive, and they could get Aaron Rodgers back this week. And you look at getting into the, if they can get in as a wild card with Aaron Rodgers, you got to give Green Bay a shot. Now, last night, the Ravens fell to the Steelers 39-38. Ben Roethlisberger was 44 of 66 and led the Steelers to a late field goal drive that won the game. Pittsburgh clinches the AFC North. Looks like the Eagles have lost Carson Wentz for the season with what they believe is a torn ACL in the Eagles' big win over the Rams. They clinched the NFC East. And Josh McCown, who's had a very good year for the Jets, suffered a broken hand yesterday. A rough day on quarterbacks. Baseball, the winter meetings are underway in Orlando. Indians reportedly have made an offer to Carlos Santana. Of course, the baseball world still shaking over the fact the Yankees acquired Giancarlo Stanton over the weekend from the Marlins. Cavaliers will practice today. They will host Atlanta tomorrow. Coming up at 5:45, more fallout on another Browns defeat. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
Speaking of more.
Hi, this is President Donald Trump, and I need Alabama to go vote for Roy Moore. It is so important.
These allegations are completely false. I did not date underage women. I did not molest anyone.
Are you comfortable that the leader of your party is all in for Roy Moore?
Well, there are a number of people in my party that are not, including myself and many Republican senators.
I didn't vote for Roy Moore. I wouldn't vote for Roy Moore. I think the Republican Party can do better.
That last, the voice of Richard Shelby, the other senator from Alabama. Bill Zimpfer joins us this morning on this and a couple other stories. Finally, they're going to vote tomorrow?
Yep, tomorrow's a special election. Good morning, Bill. And it's been interesting because you heard the comments there in your audio from Roy Moore denying once again the allegations against him. That was on the Voice of Alabama Politics show. Other than that, Roy Moore has been absent from any political activities. He hasn't made a public appearance in since last Tuesday. He will tonight, however, and it seems like he is letting others do the campaigning for him, including President Trump, who made that robocall.
Speaking to President Trump, he was tweeting over the weekend a couple of things. Tax reform, he says it's getting better all the time, but he's also upset about a Washington Post reporter.
Yeah, in fact, he laid out some tweets on news media in general, calling the fake news media a stain on America. As for the Washington Post reporter, that was a guy by the name of Dave Weigel, who put out a tweet about the president's appearance in Pensacola, Florida on Friday. Had a shot of the crowd, and it showed the arena with a lot of empty seats. Later on, he took it down because he realized that that was taken before the crowd actually came in. So, of course, the president seized on that, jumped on it, is calling for Weigel now to be fired.
The president and the week ahead in D.C. are Bill Zimpfer on it this morning. Bill, thanks much.
You got it.
Big long piece in the New York Times yesterday, too, hour by hour of Trump. They got him drinking, I think it was 12 Diet Cokes during the day. It's kind of an interesting piece. You can see it up online. President Trump, they say, watches up to 8 hours of TV a day and drinks as many as 12 cans of Diet Coke. TheHill.com's got the story. New York Times, too, with a long piece yesterday about Trump. How he gets up early, about 5, starts watching CNN, MSNBC, and then starts tweeting, as he did over the weekend. Yeah, that Washington Post story was funny. Post reporter tweets, hey, there's nobody here, nobody here. And then they reminded him, well, there's nobody that's been let in yet. It's just you and the media. And then, of course, the place was packed later, and Trump saw it, and says he got to be fired. Fake news. Rush Limbaugh with more to say about this, I am sure. Following the news at noon, catch Rush on News Radio, WTAM 1100. That some travel news. Rick Cini at faircompare.com in 2 minutes. Maybe a couple of deals for you.
Not only is it the most wonderful time of year, it's also the most stressful.
Family, got some financial burdens.
All the shopping.
While you're shopping, wrapping, cooking, and cleaning, stay informed by listening.
Enjoy the holiday.
Check in for updates every hour throughout the day on WTAM 1100.
This is Bill Wills. You have a dog? You love that dog, don't you? Yeah. Our little Bashan Layla is just over a year old. Just love spending time with Layla. Recently had her to the vet, and boy, the vet said she looks great. Keep doing whatever you're doing. So we keep doing what we do. An occasional walk, have fun playing fetch. She gets plenty of naps. And, of course, she enjoys Bill Jack Frozen. And I know that it supports her and all she needs as a dog and growing and looking great. Bill Jack Frozen. Let your dog give it a try. Look for it in the freezer where you buy dog food. It's Bill Jack Frozen.
Mike Rowe here with a mere 30 seconds to impress upon you the importance of being on time. That's something the pros of 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning not only aspire to, they actually guarantee it. Yep, if 1 hour is even 1 minute late, your service is free. No backpedaling or fancy talk, just highly skilled pros who show up on time and stay on the job till your problem's fixed. Imagine if the whole world worked that way. For an on-time guarantee, trust 1 hour Heating and Air Conditioning. Terms and conditions may apply. Each location independently owned and operated and licensed in their respective state or county.
Come on, smile.
Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Epigenetics and the Sins of the Father. GodSaidManSaid.com. U.S. colleges, new mental institutions. Close Satan's secret door. GodSaidManSaid.com. Mummies and the Sons of Ham. Alcohol and Christians. Geologists say yes to crucifixion. GodSaidManSaid.com. Which religion? Which Bible? Quantum physics to Adam's rib. Hours of text and streaming audio. GodSaidManSaid.com.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Air travel. Rick Cini checks in. FairCompare.com. I saw the text you sent me on the topic, and I wrote down want versus can. That kind of makes the difference on a deal nowadays?
Yeah.
When you
know,
want to fly versus when you can?
The whole idea around flexible traveling is to sort of know what the rules of the road are. There's a handful of rules to the road. Flying the cheapest days, for example, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Most people don't know this, but if they take half their trip on those days, they get half the benefit. That benefit can be 15 to 20% in savings. There's also a rule that I like. I coined sort of a term called fly hungry, which is fly at 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. Nobody likes to get up at 4 a.m. and head to the airport, and they generally don't like to eat at the airport or on an aircraft. So they tend to shy away from those flights that leave during those times, and those tend to be a bit cheaper as well.
Great point. Rick, when it comes to loads over the next few weeks, everything's pretty much going to be packed when we get there and we do fly?
Yeah, it looks like this is going to be one of the busiest travel seasons out there. We haven't seen a lot of new aircraft and a lot of new seats out there. There's actually more people entering the flying public that are actually flying this year. So it's going to be pretty crowded. We had a slight issue with American. Looks like that's already been sorted out with the pilots. So, you know, it's really this time of year is all about Mother Nature and what happens during that time frame. If we have a big snowstorm or something that causes, especially in one of the corridor airports like New York or Newark or Chicago, that tends to cause all sorts of issues and trickle-down issues for days during the holiday season.
Rick Cini at faircompare.com with me. I'm going to presume you're set for your Christmas and New Year travel. First quarter, maybe out spring training, Arizona. How do things look in general starting the year?
Yeah, I think what we're going to see is you come into the new year, and you wouldn't want to buy that ticket for March or April, or really until the first of the year. You're a little bit early in the game right now. But generally, I don't see prices up too much. At the moment, what's controlling ticket prices is consumers' wallets. We don't have a ton of competition. Supply is pretty tight. Demand is pretty good. So there are some soft spots that are cheaper. For example, European flights, I think, will continue to be fairly inexpensive. There's lots of competition for some of these new low-cost carriers that are doing $500 tickets round trip to Europe, which has dropped the price. Also, The dollar being pretty strong is good for at least U.S. folks heading over there and having all sorts of inexpensive hotel activities and a variety of other things. So just generally, I wouldn't expect to pay too much more than last year. But I will tell folks that they need to start shopping slightly earlier. I know everybody likes to procrastinate. They think they can outgame the airlines. But generally, you want to start shopping a couple months before departure and buy your ticket no later than 30 days before departure.
Good tips. Rick Cini is at faircompare.com on air travel. Thanks, Rick.
Hey, thank you.
President Trump's administration, by the way, Transportation Department now dropping a proposal that would require airlines to disclose the bank fees up front when you start buying the ticket. They're, of course, listed, but they're not right up front. And that really adds a lot when it comes to the cost of travel, of course, anymore. Rick Cini, faircompare.com.
Live as they rallied from 14 down to beat the winless Browns in overtime, 27-21. Brett Hundley's 25-yard touchdown pass to Devon.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. We're on your money news of the morning, and let's start trying to save you some money on your tax bill. Kevin Myroff joins me at NCA Financial Planners. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, Bill.
Okay, we all, at least I say we all like to give to charity. And when you do, there's, of course, an opportunity when it comes to saving some money on taxes. And we're starting to count down into the year. So Kevin's got a few moves you might want to make at the end of the year, especially some things in mind with the proposed tax bill, things we're hearing about. Right, Kevin?
Yeah, you bet, Bill. The proposed tax bill, because it's going to be doubling the standard deduction, will make it so you have to itemize in order to deduct your charitable contributions. So it'll make it so a lot of people can't itemize, and they may eliminate some of the ability to even itemize charitable deductions in the new bill.
All right, let's go through a couple of tips for you this morning. One, Kevin, you say you got to think about boosting charitable giving this year?
Yes. I mean, if you want to make sure that you're going to get your deduction, you want to do it before December 31st of this year. It's really important because that way you're not subject to the higher standard deductions if it goes into next year. So giving a couple years worth of deductions, it makes a lot of sense.
You know, just in you've told me this before, I'm just kind of regurgitating something you've said. Look, you get to the end of the year and you think about giving, you know, get those checks dated, because no matter what the tax bill is, you get more of a write-off, of course, this year compared to next year anyway, right?
Usually the case, yeah. Not always, but the biggest thing is you get your money back right away.
Yeah.
I mean, you do it in December, you file your tax return in February or March, and you get your money back from making that contribution.
All right, donations, tax-exempt groups, right?
Yeah, if you're going to make a donation, make sure you do it to a tax-exempt group. They use the number 501c3, which identifies the nonprofit. Churches or other religious organizations work, but you cannot deduct contributions made to individuals, political organizations.
Okay, another tip from Kevin, itemizing taxes?
Yeah, to use charitable deductions, you must itemize, to get a deduction for a contribution, you must itemize your deductions. So this year in 2017, the standard deduction is $12,700. If all your deductions, including your contributions, only add up to $5,000, you're not going to take that. You're just going to take the higher standard deduction of $12,700.
All right, they're talking in Washington about future when it comes to taxes. And Kevin Myroff with me this morning, a couple of tips involving your charitable giving and deductions to make sure you're getting the most you can. Be aware of the deduction limitations, too, in your situation, Kevin?
Yeah, generally for most of us, this doesn't come into play. But if this year people are like, oh, man, I'm never going to get another deduction, so I'm going to give 10 times what I normally do. The general rule is you cannot give more than 50% of your adjusted gross income. So go to whatever that number is at the bottom of your tax or front page of your tax return. You can't give more than half of that and still receive a deduction.
And documentation always important too, right?
Yeah. Anytime you put something on your tax return, if the contribution is more than $250, you need written acknowledgement from the recipient organization.
Kevin Myroff, NCA Financial Planners, keeping an eye on what they're talking about in the future in D.C. when it comes to taxes. But good tips this morning on when it comes to your charitable giving and getting the most in your deduction. Good info. Kevin, thanks much.
You bet. Have a great week, everybody.
27-21 to the Packers in overtime. Monday morning update with Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year, graduate Benedictine, 8-time Writer of the Year, brought to you by Universal Windows Direct this morning. Good morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Wells.
Now, Snipes and I were not necessarily arguing, but I said at least it was an entertaining game yesterday. I mean, I didn't think about them winning at all. I mean, overtime, it kind of extended my Sunday. I got an extra 10 minutes on the elliptical. I mean, it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was.
Let's put it this way. At least we were able to follow it. But, man, oh, man, didn't you just get that sense of doom when it got to 21-14?
Oh, yeah. You just knew.
Terry, that punt return is where I just felt it then. When they had that, I thought they were in position. But that punt return, that changed everything in my mind.
Well, you are allowed to stop them and at least force them kick a field goal. That's permitted in the rules.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's
a couple times like that. Seriously, where, and I know that the defense was not put in the greatest position a few times. It's like you are allowed to stop them.
Yeah, you are, and you look at it again. It's just they find ways to lose. That's why you're winless. You know, and what else can you say, Terry? You know,
actually, I have to admit, I had a hard time writing this one too because of that. It's like. Probably of all the losses the last 2 years, then you start out with stuff like this. This was like perhaps the worst. And that's not a whole lot of fun to write either. You know, Brett Hundley is their version of Deshaun Kizer heading into this game. He had 8 interceptions, only 5 touchdowns. He had lost 2 fumbles. And, you know, in 6 starts, he had 10 turnovers. And this guy goes out and he throws 3 touchdowns. He doesn't make any turnovers. And, you know, and Deshaun for about 3 quarters looked really good. And then he turned into Deshaun Kizer.
As Terry Pluto wrote this morning, Mike Snyder, Josh Gordon, superb catch for a touchdown. Duke looked like a playmaker. At the end, though, as Coach said in the press conference, he almost sounds like a broken record anymore about making plays.
Same thing.
Right?
It is. It's same thing. And you know, I think, Terry, when you look at it, though, there's a franchise that's been used to winning.
Yep.
They did the things, and even though, and they were, you know, the Browns were banged up, but boy, Green Bay was really hit with injuries in their secondary, but they just stayed with it. They made the plays to win the game. That's the difference.
Exactly, and they also knew that, hey, if we could win this game, then we get Rodgers back. In other words, when you are playing for something besides the fact I don't want to lose every single game, when you're actually playing for some hope of the playoffs or whatever, it does create that sense of we could just get back in the game, we could win. And if all you do is lose, when they get back in the game, we're going to lose. That's exactly the two mindsets, and that's when – you know, he was asked about being psychological. He said, I don't know. Well, I know. That's what it was.
John Dorsey is sitting next to Jimmy Haslam through the entire game.
He's got, I like that one, John.
John, welcome aboard, and good luck. We look at Kizer. He has shown us some things that he can play in this league. But, Terry, you just seem to wonder. We talk so often about, well, he showed us some things, but it always seems like we always come back to, well, he made this play or he did that. It seems like that's a recurring theme.
It is. And basically, it's a quarterback that's not ready to play every week in the NFL. Now, maybe in a year or two, he will be. One of the advantages Hundley had, I believe this is his third year in the league. In the first 2 years, he hardly played at all, and he studied with McCarthy and Rodgers. And you know, it's not only playing for a better team, but just simply having better training. I like Kizer as a guy for the roster. Because if nothing else next year, you at some point, if you had to put him in the game, you're putting a guy in the game that's now played some, he's got some physical ability,
right?
That kind of stuff. And that doesn't hurt to have guys like that because, you know, actually what we haven't had this year, we haven't had the annual quarterback injury.
No, and I agree. And if you look at it, all the quarterbacks we talk about with other teams involved with the Browns, or they could have. Watson's done for the year in Houston. Right. Looks like Wentz is done. Mm-hmm. McCown went down yesterday. So, yeah, you need more than one. You do.
All right, we got to go. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Trip from Hooley House, Westlake with Cribs in the 5 o'clock hour today on News Radio WTAM 1100. Best team coverage of the Browns. Thanks, Terry.
Take care, guys.
But that's kind of where we're at, though. And I think the measuring stick of how we measure these games for all of us has changed because, you know, most people around the country just want to win. For us, we sit there up 14 and you start counting the minutes, figuring out can they hold on. And I think it's just part of playing with the team with a bunch of guys that just don't know how to win because they did everything, every form of the team, whether it's special teams, defense, offense, coaching. They seem to all have their hand in giving up that 14-point lead in 17 minutes.
Well put. Yeah, they're right. Everybody had their fingerprints on it. We look back at Kizer's ill-fated throw, but there was a lot that led to that. You know, again, though, Andre, it gets down to crunch time with him. And really, yeah, he's a rookie, but we're 13 games in. It just seems like when it gets down to it, red zone, he was good. But, you know, he was good for a while. I thought he did some very good things, looked better than I'd seen him. But when it came right down to it, he makes a horrible play.
Snipes, the thing about him that scares me is the panic. You know, it's in that in the play where he throws the interception, the first pass is taken away from him. And look, that's the NFL. It happens. Your first read isn't going to be there very often, but you cannot, you know, compound the situation to make it worse by making a play that he's made. It's almost like, you know, he, like you said, he played really well yesterday, but you can't do that. You have to be able to throw the ball away. You know, no one is, I don't know how many people have said this, but in Gordon, they give him a situation where they absolutely need him to win, on the, in that post, and he doesn't win. And he, you know, and that's, I think that's the other thing. You know, you already have everybody saying he's the best player on your team, and you know, you go around the league, the best receiver when everything's on the table, you see Antonio Brown every week make unbelievable catches when his team needs it. You know, I'm not here to pile on Gordon, but that's a play that he needs to get open. That's a play that you expect, you know, your number one receiver to be able to get open and not get pushed around by a backup cornerback. But you know, he had sunglasses when he scored a touchdown.
Yeah,
so I guess that mattered.
Yeah.
Andre Knott, best team coverage of the Browns, 27-21 loss yesterday to the Packers. More with Triv this afternoon. Hoolie House, Westlake, Josh Cribbs in the 5 o'clock hour. Thanks, Andre.
Take care, guys.
On B to the Sixers. Didn't matter as the Cavs took care of business against Philadelphia, and off they go. It was the start of a four-game homestand. They do have Atlanta coming up, and it's the Lakers, then Utah as the Cavs go across this week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
John, I didn't get the sense there was a lot of concern over Kevin Love. He had some soreness in his hip. What was your take on that?
I agree. I mean, he was a late scratch, Mike. I mean, he was expected to play, went through casting that shoot around, of course, because they had they got delayed the night before as the Cavs were coming back from Indiana. They had a brief, you know, little kind of a shoot around right before they practiced. He wasn't feeling well. The hip, I guess, was bothering. So I agree with you, Mike. I don't think it's a major problem, and I expect to see Kevin back on the practice floor today.
You know, LeBron is just—it's just amazing what he's doing right now. And he was unbelievable. Well, not unbelievable. He was LeBron down the stretch the other night. But I think the thing that I took away from that game, Jay Crowder hits that big three, John, and then the way LeBron and he interacted after that. Crowder is a guy that wasn't just a throw-in on that trade. They need him to be a whole lot better than he's been. He knows that. It's been a rough first third of the season for him. Hopefully, that'll be an opening for him to kind of be the player he can be for this team.
Mike, I think it's a great observation. And, man, was that a feel-good shot for Crowder, wasn't it? I mean, the guy who hit Crowder with a late shot, by the way, for those who didn't listen to the game, Crowder basically put it away. It was a dagger shot for Crowder to salt the game and give it to the Cavaliers. So, yeah, I agree with you, Mike. And I think Jay would be the first one to admit that it hasn't been the easiest transition for him. You know, he's having to play a little bit out of position. I mean, LeBron's over there on the wing as well. He's playing alongside LeBron James, and, you know, that's an adjustment. No question about it. He's playing a lot different role than he was playing in Boston. He knows he'd like to play better on both sides of the floor. I mean, Jay Crowder shot threes at 40% last season in Boston. Those numbers are down now, you know, for Jay. And again, though, like I said, it's a different, you know, he's not getting the ball as often as he did in Boston, certainly getting different looks. So the adjustment period has taken him some time. But, man, I agree with you. That was a big shot for a kid who works hard, works his tail off each and every game, and it was great to see Jay hit that triple to give the Cavaliers the win.
Complete Cavaliers coverage. More on Cavs HQ, 7 o'clock tonight on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavs. Cavs-Hawks, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. John Michael will call it, and we'll talk about it with Jim Chones, your partner, this time tomorrow morning. John, thanks much.
Yeah, have a good week, guys.